Good morning again.
Good morning.
I look, see, we're a little bit more lively. Got some little worship in. We're all good now. All right. But there are going to be no notes today, minus your mental notes, obviously. But so if you have your bulletin, outside of what's the events and stuff like that, you won't need it to take any notes. But I will today kind of pick off where I left off at my last sermon a couple of weeks ago. If you happen to miss it, because I know we had some audio issues for those who weren't here that day, it is on our church website. For those watching, you can. It was nice to update that description this morning real quick to put the church link in there as well, if you can't make it here in person, obviously. But today's message is about forgiveness and the prayer heals the soul. And I kind of looked at that, what I was going to preach today. Ari was going to preach eventually on forgiveness. But I added prayer into that aspect because I want to look at it through a lens that a lot of you can kind of relate to, that of trauma. And that's because when we go through trauma, it's easy to blame others, it's easy to blame God or ourselves for what had happened to us. However, in those moments, looking back, you can see where God was still working. Even in the good times, even in the bad times, God is always there. And he could take something so traumatic or terrible in your life and make something better out of it. Whether it's for you or for someone else. Some of you listening right now might be thinking, well, that's easy for Pastor Christopher to say. He hasn't experienced what I have. And that might be the case. I might not have experienced what you have gone through to the very finite detail, but we've all experienced something similar. Maybe not as bad, but we have had some correlation with it. And I can also say we all have had some type of trauma in our lives. And after talking through some folks about it, not until really recently did I really grasp the effects of trauma and how that affects your life from that point and beyond. Because everything that had happened after that fact of trauma or life experience, whatever word you want to use, gets compounded. And you might be thinking, well, that's kind of a little dark there. But it shapes you. It changes you. You're not the same person you were before the trauma happened. And by the shaking of the head nods around here, I see it affects a lot of different people. And that is kind of what I wanted to talk about forgiveness and prayer today. Because during that trauma, during that moment, we can lose sight of that. We can lose sight of forgiving the person that might have caused it. We can lose sight of not reaching out to God in prayer. For example, if you get in a car wreck, that's a traumatic, incident. Had that earlier this year. But it doesn't just go away. It's still embedded in your brain. So decades later, maybe, unfortunately, you get robbed. What you had a brush with death previously, now you have it again. And that original trauma just got compounded by another traumatic event. And while there were two separate events spread beyond time, It carries a lot of weight on your soul and your mind. And it can lead to a lot of different issues beyond your spiritual life that I'm going to be talking about today. It can create issues not just at home, but at work, in your interaction with others. Well, I want to give you one special note on that. Your trauma doesn't define who you are and how people see you. But again, it does shape you for better or for worse. Because now it's forever part of your life. And that's because of the way it allows us to carry it on in our souls. Your life experiences, whether traumatic or not, can affect your relationship with our Heavenly Father. That is why today's message on forgiveness and prayer is important beyond today. Those two things will create the biggest roadblocks in your spiritual life. As we dive into today's message, I want you to examine how you can apply it in your own life. So today we'll be looking at Psalms 130. And for today's message, to me, it speaks to both those, forgiveness and prayer. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm 130. If not, in the Pew Bible, it's on page 442 with a whole bunch of different psalms as well. Give some people a little bit of time to get to it real quick before we start reading. I'll be reading from the NIV version that we have in the pews. Psalm 130, a song of accents. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In his words I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Again, that's Psalms 130. We're all simple. Let's be honest, right? No one here on earth is sinless because of original sin and the fact that we're human. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of God's glory. And that's kind of what Pastor Creed and I have hit on the last several weeks as well. And that's to not just people here in this church, not just people watching online. There are a lot of people who struggle. There are a lot of people who think quite the opposite. That they're beyond hope. But however, that doesn't negate, even though we have sin, does not negate the fact that we are given forgiveness by others. No one is above or below the act of forgiveness. And I want you to know you are loved and that you belong to God. Nothing that you do can ever sever that fact. The reason forgiveness is important is because of the impact it has just not on yourself, but others. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went to go see the new Kendrick Brothers movie, The Forge. And I'll tell you, I don't hide my emotions. Both my wife and I cried a lot during that movie. Yeah, okay, thank you for pointing that out. Me more than her, but it's because it touched me, and it touched her too, and it touches anybody who goes to see it. Because where you are in your life, you can relate to it in some capacity. But in that movie, without being a spoiler, it kind of hit on those two parts that people often struggle with. The first is people letting us down. Whether it's our mother or our father, whether it's people who mistreat us for different reasons, or even abuse. And while those things do happen in society, it also can lead to the other part of the struggle. Why does God let things happen? And I'll be honest, I don't have the answer you're seeking. I'm not God. But I could surmise that just based on things that do happen, sometimes it's outside of God's control. We often forget that God's always in a constant war and battle with the devil. Those little small little things that he gives you, the devil that is, he's trying to poke and prod you. Think about Job's story. How much the devil attacked him. Took away family, took away all of his possessions, his house. But it wasn't like everything at once, right? It's like a little roller coaster. Just kept on going. Whew, down. But during that time, Job stayed faithful. Another part of that is our human nature. We had that free will, right? We had that free will to make the decision. Now, whether it's a good decision or not doesn't negate the free will aspect. He lets us have that decision. And that in itself can cause a lot of things to happen. You can see within our own community recently, I wasn't going to talk about it, but I guess I'm talking about it today, where that 70-year-old shot and killed that older gentleman during a family dispute. To get to that point, to take someone's life at 17, now that's a traumatic event all in and of itself. Three people's lives were changed that day. The person pulled the trigger, the person who was arguing with the other family member, and that family member that lost their life. That whole family, however they're related, will never be the same. It has changed the trajectory all through their lives. Obviously, the one who passed, his life is gone. God willing, he's with God right now, not having to worry about that stuff. But also a lot of times when things happen, it's so that glory can go to God. The people who are healed from cancer. The people whose child is in the hospital fighting for their life. By God's good grace and miracles, they're healed. And a lot of times, like I said, I don't have the exact answer of why God does this stuff. But a lot of the stuff I talked about, rationally, could explain it. It also points to how our forgiveness in our prayer life can impact those who are affected. Last time in my sermon, I mentioned The Chosen about Matthew and Peter's interaction, right? And I go into a spoiler either there, so you had to watch it, but Had we have 8 minutes to spare, I could have showed you the clip, but that's a long time to watch a clip. But it's very impactful. Very emotionally impactful. I cried there too, it's fine. But you can see what the act of forgiveness is, how it was portrayed, and how we can sometimes think about it ourselves. I'm not pretty sure if you watched it or you watched The Forge, a lot will hit home to you in some capacity, like I said. That is because forgiveness is a gift from the person inflicted, not for the person trying to be cleansed of their own guilt. It is repenting for what you have done to another person or persons. The Bible says of forgiveness specifically in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 12. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserves, or repay us according to our own inequities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalms are very good, powerful. I do recommend you read a lot of different ones of those, because they can, doesn't matter where you are in your life, they can hit hard. That's because God forgives us when we seek him and repent. That is because your Heavenly Father shows up every day for you, if you just let him in. God cares about you more than you can fathom. God wants that relationship with you. God wants to be in your life even when you push him away. God wants a relationship not just with the sinner, but those who were inflicted. God wants to use both of you to show mercy, grace, and love by bringing healing to everyone. If left to stand, then it separates you from him. It allows the devil to continue to draw that wedge in your relationship with him. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. God knows how long it took in my own traumatic life experience to forgive my sister's ex-husband when he took her life. Still affects me to this day. Because of that traumatic experiences, my world changed on that day. She went missing. They found her body dumped along an interstate in the woods. The countless trial delays. Even the trial where I saw images of her lifeless body. And the pain that still inflicts to this day. However, as much as it hurts not to have her here, had I not forgiven him, it will continue to have burden in my heart, my mind, my soul. It would have not allowed the opportunity for me to come to Christ, truly come to Christ, to become a pastor, to help others heal for their own traumatic experiences. And as I said, God didn't promise us an easy life. And people's actions are sometimes harder to forgive than others. However, that doesn't give us a reason to turn our backs on the God and let us not to forgive someone when they harm us. If God can forgive anyone of their sin, then why can't we forgive them as well? Now let me be clear. If someone hurts you, commits a crime against you, transgress against you, doesn't mean they can keep on doing it. And if it breaks the law of man, not be prosecuted from it. But again, if you let it stay there, it will fester. And it will hurt not just you, but the ones around you. Which brings me to my second main point on prayer. And as I spoke earlier, we heard about the power of prayer. Prayer for healing, prayer for guidance, prayer for clarity sometimes. Jesus speaks of how prayer to our Heavenly Father, how we should be praying to our Lord God in all things, to give Him praise when He bestows blessings upon us. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 14, regarding prayer, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in the secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." That's so true, right? God knows what's happening in our lives each and every day. I talked about it last time. He sees the sorrow that people go through. He sees the struggle that people go through as well. As part of that, those verses, it reads on, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sin." We should lift up our prayers to forgive others as He forgives us. And as verse 14 stated, we don't. How can God forgive us? Prayer is part of forgiveness. It allows you to seek God's help, to transform you to the ability to be able to do so. Now, obviously, there are, again, some things that are easy to forgive than others. But lean on not your understanding, but on God's understanding. If you let unforgiveness fester inside you, what festers inside also festers outside of you. The Bible says in Romans 12, verses 9 through 18, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, that might have been a hard statement for a lot of you to hear. Peace with everyone, even the ones who inflict me? Yes, even the ones who inflict you. Prayer is also an important part of the healing process. As I mentioned earlier, trauma that you experience just doesn't just go away after the event. Always there in the back of your mind. Again, it can be compounded by the next traumatic event. And you can experience more pain on top of pain. That's why we have to pray to God. That's why our prayer life should also include the prayer to heal our soul. What ails us? Whether the ailment is both physical, emotional, and or spiritual. As the whole body heals, we come closer to God. And leaning on him during those times helps you in the next time when something happens. But you don't have to suffer from trauma to be healed, though. Everyone's life here has their own experiences. Some might not have had no trauma in their life. They might have some challenges, but nothing traumatic. But it doesn't mean that you don't need God. It doesn't mean you don't need your prayer life to match that of God as well. A study found that whether a person experiences the death of a loved one, divorce, or a loss of a job, they all have the exact similar emotional response. Because you lost something that wasn't there anymore. A life-altering change, whether temporary or permanent. And that is why prayer is so key to the healing process. Other than trying to fix others, it also allows the opportunity to God to fix what's hurting inside of you. Finally, we need prayer to surrender it to him. That's a tall order. Even the song that we talked about earlier, The Goodness of God, talked about surrendering to God. Now, I might be aging myself a little bit because I've seen these before, but whatever. Who cares? anybody remember ankle weights, you know, back in the day? Oh, yeah, some people are like, what? They're like, oh, yeah, I had those, right? But whether it's ankle weights or a backpack, you put them on, right? Go walking for like a mile or so. No problem. It's a little discomfort. You're good. 5 miles plus in, you're about ready to throw those suckers off. You're like, I'm about to quit this walk. because of the weight, it's so heavy, right? But that's the same weight that we bear when we don't give it to God. We let it weigh us down. And we might not be physically walking a long distance. Our emotional, spiritual self is. From week to week, month to month, as long as you let it stay there, it holds you back. This is why we must surrender to God, for he can take all the weight to bear it all for us. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus offered us a path, as does God, to be one who bears the world's problems on his shoulders. Because sometimes that burden you're holding was never yours to hold in the first place. You might have took it from someone else, trying to hold it all by yourself. But by doing so, it is destroying who God wanted you to be and the plan he had for you. That is why one must pray to our Lord God to help us surrender it all, truly surrender it all to him, before it crushes you under the weight. For he is divine God, the maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen, the healer, the provider, the forgiver, the judge, the one who created you for a purpose. We're going to play a video. It's by Megan Woods. It's called The Truth. And as we watch this video, I really want you to hear the words. And I was listening to it, I was, writing this sermon. Something kind of came into it. But it's something I think we all experience. It kind of hits on trauma events as well. So without further ado. And as she stated in the song, the truth is you are loved. That you belong to him. No matter what. Now add a little bit to that. It will never change his love for you. Because it's endless, never ending. No matter our own shortcoming or other people's shortcomings, that doesn't change. You belong to him since you were created in the womb until he calls you home. When we surrender it, it gives us something more than we can imagine. Pure peace. Priscilla Shire says in her book, I Surrender All, the whole rhythm and pattern of this world, not to mention the nature of our flesh, resists the submission that a wholehearted following of Jesus requires. But at its essence, this lifestyle is not a more complicated life. It's an invitation to receive a gift of simplicity and freedom. And as I mentioned, that weight that you hold sometimes on your own soul, that's the freedom she was talking about. To let it go. To not be bound by it anymore. That gift you receive is more precious than life itself when we surrender to God. Pray that he helps us connect our mind and heart so we can truly surrender to him everything. In conclusion, I talked a lot about forgiveness and prayer. what it means to forgive, how trauma can affect that. Talked about how prayer, to actually get to that point to forgive, how our prayer life needs to be stronger. And next week, Pastor Cree will go more in depth in the Lord's Prayer and prayer in itself. However, on forgiveness, it's something that holds back not just the transgressor and the afflicted. It holds back something that's more precious than that, your connection and relationship to God. Again, His plan for you. While forgiveness never negates what happens, as I said in my last sermon, it allows everybody to start to heal. And when healing starts, the soul's healing starts. While the event or trauma you have had in your life might impact you, and impact the people that carried it out, it doesn't stop you from loving those involved. It will not stop God's love, mercy, and grace He gives us. The fact is, we are all important to God. Not one person here, watching online, out in our community, around the world, is not important to God. For the Bible tells us God wants everybody to come to Him. Truth is, we're created for a specific person, our purpose, that will transcend these walls, this church, and your house. Let God into your heart by not shutting out some of those areas that you try to protect yourself from so that He can't see them. He sees them. He just wants you to open it up so that He can help you. Like a house has many rooms, allow Him to walk freely through your own mind and heart, so He can deliver you. Deliver you from the pain. Deliver you from the sickness. Deliver you from the anger. To just deliver you. As we close our eyes and bow our heads, I know today's sermon probably hit some people a little harder than they expected. Maybe the video as well. And maybe you want to come up here for prayer. I do implore you to do so. But I also want to pray for everyone here, those watching online as well, or will be watching later. That God loves you, like I said. That if He didn't love you, He wouldn't have brought you here. Not physically here in this church, but here into this world. God has always wanted a relationship since Adam and Eve with His children. Sometimes hold back that relationship. We don't allow forgiveness to take hold. And as in Psalm 130, we know sin is out there. But we know God can help us, as in Psalms 103. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today's message was not just my message, Lord. It's the words You've given, words spoken, Lord, to help those heal. Heal from the trauma or traumatic event that, or events that have encompassed their life. And as we mentioned some prayers earlier today, Lord, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that there are a lot of unspoken prayers that we don't know about, Lord, but you know about. And I pray for those today, Lord. I pray that you hear their prayers. Whether your answer is yes, no, or not right now, we do know you answer, Lord. And I pray for all those who are afflicted by those unspoken prayers, that you help them heal. Heal from what is afflicting them, Lord. Heal them from what's holding them from being greatness defined by you, Lord. And as we go out today, let us dwell not on our own experiences so much, Lord, but dwell on you, on the healing that you bring, the weight you take off of our shoulders, Lord. Some people's yokes are heavy. They're trying to hold it all down by themselves. When you can reach out your own hand, Lord, and hold that weight back. As if it's a chain holding your arms, Lord. At first, it does not hold that much weight, but over time, it gets unbearable. We can't do it by ourselves. But you, Lord, come in, help ease that burden. Break those chains, Lord, that hold us back. Allow us to forgive those, not for their own satisfaction, Lord. Because forgiveness is a gift that we can give, but it also brings about the healing process. And we bring about the healing process, we do it through prayer, Lord. Because prayer, we know you're listening through prayer, Lord. And we know that you answer our prayers. But you allow us to come closer to you in those prayers. Whether those prayers or for something that we need, or prayers of blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And we give you thanks. But in all things, we lift up in prayer, Lord. So I pray for everyone here, Lord, everyone watching, everybody in our community, in the world, that they get to know you, truly know you, connect to you, connect to your Son so they can have that eternal life. And I thank you for the ability to preach today, Lord. And I continue to lift up our prayers for our pastor, for his own healing, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. All God's people said, amen.